This is County Close Up, news from Haliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
Nothing like the sound of leaves under your feet.
We're on the managed forest of Haliburton Forest and Wildlife Reserve. Actually, we have 100,000 acres that we manage also. So this is a couple of those acres that we're going to look at, and this gives us where we are here on the hilltop at Blue Heron Drive. We're on one of these rocky ridges, and it gives us a really good insight into what the drought conditions have, the kinds of effects that they've carried, which are very uneven across the region. So yeah, we'll just walk down a little bit.
The trees in Haliburton Forest have had one heck of a challenging year. So far this season, our trees have faced heavy snowpacks, an ice storm that ravaged thousands of red and white pines, birches, and other softwoods, windstorms, which were followed by prolonged heat, and drought conditions. That's why I'm out walking through a section of Haliburton Forest with forester Thomas McKay to learn more about the resilience of trees and the natural order found amongst them as they prepare for the winter months ahead. McKay, who's worked here for 11 years, says no matter what Mother Nature throws their way, trees have natural coping strategies in order to survive all sorts of challenges, and this year is no different. And while they do show the stress they're under, most trees can make it through multiple years of seemingly abnormal conditions. The bigger threat to our tree canopy in Haliburton County, McKay says, are invasive species and disease.
There's two angles to it, I would say. On the one hand, you know, forests have the capacity to look after themselves. Disturbance is part of the process that all of these individual trees with different strategies and different ways and means have evolved to be well adapted to. So, you know, the death of some trees provides opportunities for other trees to take their place and, you know, the circle of life type stuff. On the other hand, some of the challenges that trees are facing are novel and created by us, or they are overlapping with conditions in the forest health ecosystem that we have previously created over several generations. And so that can mean that that sort of natural ecological functioning that we might call, you know, natural forest disturbance, or in the forest we might call it a successional trend, it might interfere with that and create some outcomes that we're not after. So then it's weighing these two things up. But it's always helpful to start with, okay, you know, an ice storm, a drought, snow, these things are part of the natural system. And the forest, as a starting place, the forest is adapted to them. And so we build from there. Yeah. So I'm a forester, and the practice of forestry is all about what are the benefits that we're after as a community from our forests. And that can mean forest products, it can mean ecological reserves, it can mean biodiversity values. And so depending on which of those elements you're looking at, you're gonna score differently on your report card. And so from a high level, you know, forest disturbances affecting the forest, I don't think it's that bad. Maybe if you were to look at what is the tree species diversity in Haliburton County? Maybe I'd score us worse on that. I'd maybe a C plus, something like that, right? You know, we're lacking pines, we're lacking oaks that we used to have pre-contact on the landscape. It'd be nice to have more of those, right? Versus the drought effects here, they have an effect, and we can look at some examples, but they're not as bad as just some other things that we might score ourselves on the plus or minus on.
McKay says that while he understands people's emotional connection to the trees on their properties, trees can't and don't live forever.
Let's maybe say that change isn't necessarily bad, right? And if you have a big tree in your yard that you emotionally love and is getting attacked, you know, that's hard to replace. But that tree has a lifespan with a really fortunate sugar maple. Maybe it's 250, 300 years. So we're not used to it at our human scale, but the death of that tree, it's meant to be replaced by something else. And when we walk through, as you say, knee deep, a forest that has lots of vegetation and understory, that's a sign of a forest in transition, in change, however slow, and that that's part of the process, right? We're surrounded by a series of big trees here. The bigger the tree, the older the tree, the less resilient it may be to this drought stress. Therefore, we'll be looking to new trees underneath it to come up in its place. And in our part of Ontario, that's exactly what the trees are adapted to do. So this, you know, 50 centimeter diameter sugar maple here that's maybe 24 meters tall, it has these sugar maple seedlings underneath it that will, you know, are vying to take its place one day.
An ever-warming climate and more frequent and severe storms are giving way to even more serious threats to our trees, McKay says. Invasive insects are destroying habitats and creating monocultures in forests. Two of the most recent and devastating insects are beech bark disease and hemlock woolly adelgid, both of which have no known effective treatments for as yet. The loss of both these species, caused primarily by importing forest products from Asia, creates a trickle-down impact for the forest, The trees disappear from the canopy, and so do the food sources for deer, bear, moose, and other animals. McKay says the invasive species are causing havoc to forests and should be considered the biggest threat.
The thing that really concerns me is the stuff either where the effect is exaggerated because of perhaps a change in climate, or it's something that people have introduced or something that people have taken away. So the biggest thing that we are concerned about actually is invasive species. And our big bugbear with that is beech bark disease and is hemlock woolly adelgid. What beech bark disease means is that beech trees, American beech, will not produce nuts, so for wildlife, or timber products in the way that they'd prior to about 2011 through 2015, and it's slowly changing the character of our forest in a way that's very hard to deal with. If you look through a forest and you saw beech trees and beech regeneration, you go, awesome, got a future forest here. Now, because the future of these beech trees is so poor because of this disease, you look through the forest and you see beech regeneration, of which we unfortunately have lots of examples where we've walked in here. You see that, and like this substituting from this big maple to beech, that is a negative consequence. Beech bark disease is an invasive pest originally from Europe that was introduced here nearly 100 years ago. And about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it finally made its way to Haliburton County and has been starting to cause bad effects ever since. So the one problem is, okay, now when we see beech, it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. It's not going to effectively take the place of some other tree. But unlike the loss of chestnut or elm, the disease is not reducing the abundance of beech in the forest, because beech can reproduce asexually. It can send up new trees directly, clones directly from its root system. Then the tree dies and this thicket of clones pops up. It creates sort of this diseased beech monoculture that reduces vegetation, herbaceous biodiversity, and it prevents some other tree might prefer to have growing here, like maple or oak or black cherry, or yellow birch, hemlock, what have you. So, you know, that to me is a more existential, more scary problem than drought. Hemlock woolly adelgid is another invasive that's currently devastating the hemlock forests in the States, particularly, you know, up through Vermont and Nova Scotia actually as well. It's coming here. How quickly will it get here? I don't know. James Rogers, actually the bylaw officer, has worked really hard to try to raise the public attention on this issue, because it will affect the forests of our county visually in a way that beech bark disease has not. Right, most people have only experienced beech bark disease if they happen to have a beech tree on their property or in their yard that has been attacked or died. If we have lake shores going brown in the way that you see from these photos in the ravines of Vermont, it's going to be completely different. It's hard to say what to do about this. There's a hemlock woolly adelgid working group that is taking good work. One of the things that can help is pesticides to control the adelgid fungus itself. Not the fungus, excuse me, the sort of aphid-like thing. You know, we need those tools to try to preserve, again, forestry is about preserving the values that communities want out of their forests. You know, this is a big one that people don't know they're going to miss.
While this year's drought has been tough on our trees, McKay admits the timing of it is what gives him hope for survival of most species. Forest management, he says, is a shared responsibility combining building awareness and a willingness to do the work.
The timing, we're really actually lucky with the timing of the drought. A drought is much more impactful if it happens in the spring or early summer, when the trees are first flushing out their new leaves. They're in the process of spending their overwintering bank accounts to send out that leaf flush. And if it gets caught at that moment, when it has nothing in the root system, in terms of, you know, sugar reserves or to go into the next year, then it's in trouble. It started happening in August, and August is about when the trees stop growing. They're not doing anything with their overstory anymore. They're focusing on sending resources into the root system for next year. They've set their buds, they're done. So this tree, the drought happened after that time, mm-hmm. during and after that time. So likely it's got its buds set. It's established enough reserves for next year. Not as many as it would like, but it's probably gonna be okay, and it'll leaf out next year.
Okay.
Now, what can happen is the tree was already under stress, if it was already really low vigor, or was attacked by a disease, or had a canker on it. You know, these are all natural things that can happen, but some trees lose the competition in the forest and are on their way out anyway. This drought will accelerate that process and they'll die faster. However, the thing that can happen is if you have multiple drought years in a row, or you have drought combined with other things like heavy insect defoliation, then you have a problem. We hosted a guest, Ethan Tapper, who's an influential forester from New Hampshire. That's exactly what his book is about. It's about, if you love a forest, then there's work and opportunity to roll up your sleeves and get involved in it and do something with it to improve a future outcome. The right solution is not to be ignorant of it, And the right solution is not to put it in a crystal box. The right solution is to understand its threats and challenges and wade in and attack the opportunities in whatever way you're able to.
McKay says this year's fall colors will happen earlier than normal and end sooner because of the drought. He adds there are helpful places to turn to if you have questions about a few trees on your property or a whole bunch of acres of woodlot. He recommends contacting an arborist for individual trees and a forester for a community of trees. McKay suggests that those with over 10 acres should look into the Ontario Managed Forest Tax Incentive Program, or MFTIP, for real-world guidance on keeping your forest healthy.
County Close Up is made possible through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. You can find more stories from Haliburton County on canoefm.com and frequencynews.ca. This is Elizabeth Oakley for County Close Up.